And now, Father, we ask your blessing upon your word and upon our servant Darren. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's stand together, get our chairs all straightened out.
Good morning, everybody. How you doing this morning? I really don't like these things. I was hoping for the pulpit so when you guys start throwing your chairs at me, I could hide behind it real quick. It's okay to get sentimental if I'm not coming up here afterwards. That was sweet. And, you know, God is faithful, and he's a God of restoration. And that's always important to remember in our lives, you know. And no matter how far you go or where you go, the Lord comes looking for you. But real quick, he left. I can't use that joke on him. I was going to tell Pastor Steve to get his cell phone out and make sure he got it on vibrator, turned it off. Would have been a lot funnier with him here. So, Pastor just did his. You hear that? Yeah. So, listen. There's Pastor Steve. We got our phone on vibrate, Pastor Steve?
I got a new phone.
Let's pray real quick. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, and we do thank you for this time together. God, we thank you once again for your love that abounds in our life. We thank you for your grace and your mercy that continually abounds in our lives, Father. And Lord, I just pray as this time that we begin to open your word and read and listen to you, God, that you would just minister to our hearts and show us the importance of living a life that's pleasing to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Me and the pastor have been talking about is a men's ministry group that we'd like to get going on Saturdays at 9 o'clock. And it's called Men of Integrity. And this morning, what I'd like to do is, first of all, I'd like to obviously speak a little bit about men of integrity and what it means. The word integrity is moral uprightness, okay? Or complete, or wholeness, or to break it real simple, truth and honesty within the inward parts. And we know that's what God desires, isn't it? Truth and honesty on the inward parts. There's a passage that I feel that really, really describes what integrity is. If you guys would turn with me to Psalms 15, we'll read that together. Well, I'll read it. But men of integrity is just being honest with God, with ourselves, and those that love us, and actually with one another. That's very important. And as we see, as we go on and look in the study, this is actually, guys, like I want to say it's going to be a verse-by-verse study of God's Word. It's going to be more of an introduction into this ministry and what feel God has shown us that in our lives. And here, in Psalms 15, I feel is an example of a man who's walking in integrity, that has a life of integrity. Says Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly, he who works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money at usury. I never could say that word. Usury. Thank you. Usury. Nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. he does these things shall never be moved.
Now, the world today
is actually crying out for people to be honest, men of integrity. You know, it's a lost world. It's a suffering world. People are out there deceiving one another, backbiting, lying, cheating, stealing from one another. We got to be careful there, for unfortunately, the sad truth of it is that even some Christians, you know, might lie, cheat, or steal on their taxes even. Maybe you're at work and you are using the company phone for long-distance phone calls. You know, that's not being upright. That's actually robbing the company and so forth. So really, this ministry, the men of integrity that we want to talk about, is really hopefully going to show us it's a men's discipleship group to help us to live those lives that's pleasing to God, to help raise us up in godliness and righteousness, that those areas that we may be struggling in and those struggles may have. If you guys would turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 with me. That was It says, finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave to you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the passions of the lust, not in passions of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of you and defraud, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this manner, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but to holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject God, does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. In this context right here, the culture of the Romans right here, that was a very had a lot of immorality going on at the time. So the young believers back then, they were finding it difficult to withstand the temptations that were going on around them. It was a very difficult time. They were being swayed and moved and shaken, tempted in the area of sexual immorality. Okay? Today, unfortunately, we know that we're saturated, just like they were saturated back in those days. Maybe even worse, maybe even harder. We're bombarded with sexual immorality on all sides, no matter what you do, where you go, you see it. You can't pass it with driving down the freeway. You know, you can't turn on the TV without catching something. You can barely turn on your computer. Even if you go to the homepage on your computer, you can find shadows of sexual immorality. We're bombarded with it no matter where we go. And we men, we have the same struggle going on today in our lives. God created sex. It's a gift from him. It's a beautiful gift. It's a gorgeous gift. It's one that we shouldn't be embarrassed of or ashamed of. It's one that he's bestowed upon us. And he gave us that drive for procreation and also for the pleasure in the marriage and in marriage alone. And the word here, sexual immorality, actually is referring to fornication. Okay? The sex out of marriage or adultery, sex with someone who's married. And unfortunately, we see that running rampant in the world today, don't we? No matter where you turn, it's all over the world. It's not here. It's not exclusive to California or the United States. It's throughout the world. And the thing of it is, the enemy of our souls, the devil, knows that we have this strong drive. He knows that we have this desire that we're being bombarded with and so forth. And he's going to attack us on all fronts. He's going to do everything he can. Even when you're avoiding pictures, pornography, lingerie pictures, so forth like that. that stuff can and still will pop up in front of your face. It's not going nowhere. Drugs, alcohol, beautiful women, these billboards that you see, like the one right down the road, it's doing alcohol, said it's getting interesting in here with two seductive women on the front of it. I mean, alcohol, sex, drugs, they're putting it all hand in hand and they're making it very attractive for us. They're trying to draw us in, draw us to it. Okay? So here, what we'd like to do, what we want to see, is we know, without a doubt, that men are attacked in this area on a regular daily basis. It's a war within our minds. It could be something deeply rooted within our hearts. We have a... And in this area of sexual immorality, when we choose to fall into it, when we do fall into it, it has devastating consequences in our lives. Unfortunately, it's sad. The statistics, I'm not into statistics, so I didn't bring numbers with me. But the church in this area of sexual immorality is almost meeting the statistics of the world, those who don't know God. We're almost equal to them. That's kind of sobering when you stop and think about it for a second. Those who have been called to be set apart, to be sanctified, made holy for God's good will, for His good pleasure, to be used by Him, to be built up by Him. And so what happens? What happens when we do? What happens when we fall into this temptation? One of the worst things for me that could happen is we get separated from God. In Isaiah 59:2, says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you, so that He will not hear. Okay? Sin separates us from God, no longer to have fellowship with Him. But the good news is, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He draws us back. But even when we go astray, like Pastor John was saying, that was He doesn't let go. You know what God does when this happens, guys? He comes searching for us. He does hang on. He follows us. He's close to us. He knows where we're at. We're not lost. We're not lost. But you know what? This began at the beginning of time in the Garden of Eden. Adam, he was lost, right? He sinned against God, ate of the fruit. He left God. He separated himself from God through his conscious choice to sin against God. And what did God do? I didn't write that verse down, so I'm going to turn to it. But in Genesis chapter 3, really, I know where it's at. Just give me a few seconds. Genesis chapter 3. It says, and they heard a sound, verse 8, and they heard a sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. I'm having problems reading this morning, ain't I? So then verse 9 says, then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Where are you? So God, the same as He did with Adam, does the same thing with us when we separate ourselves from Him. He calls out to us. Here the Lord says, Adam, where are you, my son? What happened? Where did you go? I often wonder how that sounded to him. How did God say it? Adam, where are you? Where are you at? Where are you going? Right? Or was it a concerned parent? Have you, anybody that has kids, you ever been in the store getting something off the shelf and you turn around and all of a sudden your child's gone? And you're looking around frantically for him? Frantically for him? Where are you? Jesse, man. Jesse did it to me. I'm telling you what. He's never really done that before, but when we come to church, it's something about church and little kids. They love to run amok. They just want to go. I had that kid trained to stay by me. If he wanted to go somewhere, I went with him, no doubt. Next thing you know, I'm getting some coffee. I'm talking to somebody, whatever the case is. I look down by my side, and where is he? Where is he going? I'm looking in the sanctuary. He's using the sanctuary. He loves the aisles. If I look in the sanctuary, I'm looking everywhere. Jesse, where are you? Where are you? But I'm a concerned parent. What are you getting into? Are you hurting yourself? You know? Or did he have a broken heart? Did God have a broken heart? Adam, son, where are you? Where did you go? Why did you leave me? And man, I'm telling you right now, when we choose to sin against God, no matter what it is, it doesn't have to be in the area of sexual morality. But he doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. He comes looking for us. In fact, we can put our own names in there. If he says, Adam, he say, Darren, where are you? Where'd you go, my son? Why did you leave me? You have to do that. There's the good part. That's the good news. He comes no matter what. He says, and like I said, if we're faithful and just, we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's not a secret that there's a struggle today within the church. Men struggle. Many men come up to me. And I know it's a sensitive subject. We don't want to talk about it. That's not something men talk about. We weren't raised to talk about it. It's not where we want to go. That's corny. That means we have to be intimate. Right? Right? No one wants to talk about that. No one wants to walk up. I mean, really, you could probably ask Pastor John, cut out and understand how many men really walked into his office and said, hey, I need to talk to you about sexual immorality. Not very many. I bet you not very many. Maybe not enough. You know? Maybe not enough. I've got to tell you guys, there was a... Let me back up for a second. What I want to really share with you guys from my heart, it's nothing to be filled guilt and shame over, to be embarrassed about. It's something that we should not talk about because it's really not a secret. We think it's a secret. We think nobody knows, but I'm a man. You're a man. I know how you're wired. I know how you think. I know the things you struggle with. And if you are struggling with sexual purity, I have one quick, easy step for you. Pray for your brother's purity. Pray for the man next to you. Don't think he's not attacked in this area. Don't think he's above it. There's not one of us above it. When I first started coming to this church, man, you took me way back, John. Thank you. And no, my hair doesn't grow no more, as you can see. So, but I'm going to get honest and I'm going to get open and I'll get real with you guys. Pastor John says some things happened. Some things did happen. Some horrible, devastating things happened. Shamed God, destroyed my witness, destroyed my family, and embarrassed the church. Devastated it. Ruined the witness of the church. Please forgive me for that. I don't know if I ever had a chance to say it in a big group. But it's shameful because I ruined the witness of each and every one of you too. Because of sexual immorality. One of the best things I ever did when I came. In James, it says, confess your sins one to another and to pray for each other so that you may be healed. The fervent righteous prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Okay, guys, bear with me. My tongue's thick this morning. It could be... But anyway, I came to the church. It was a nice, quaint little church. It was intimate, just like this. It was a good time. A good time of growth. A good time of fellowship. Just a lot of love. A lot of love. And I... would go to the men's prayer meeting. And I was a fairly open individual at that time. I guess I still am. Sometimes to a fault, I think. But I would go to the men's prayer meeting. And I would confess the areas of sexual immorality that I would fall into. Fornication. I was a single man at the time. Pornography. I just want to be real with you guys. The Bible says to be transparent. I don't want you guys to make a mistake about the pain and devastation this can do upon a life and a family and a church and the witness. And I used to go to this men's prayer meeting and I would confess. I wanted prayer. I wanted healing. I wanted it to be fixed. I wanted it to be over. I wanted the bondage to be off my life. I didn't want to walk around in guilt and shame that wouldn't allow me to open my mouth for God. They wouldn't let me allow to have an intimate conversation. You know, it's a guilt and shame that keeps us from having the intimate conversations. We don't talk to each other. Well, he's going to think I'm some kind of twisted pervert. Really? That's what we think. He's going to think I'm warped. He's going to think I'm like, man, are you saved? Come on, we question ourselves when we fall into that stuff. Man, I don't even know if I'm saved. When am I saved? So I used to confess, and I said, God, and you know what? I got to tell you, man. These brothers, this Pastor John and the elders of the time, some of them are in here, Pastor Steve, Jerry. I think they might be the only two. There was more, though. And other brothers that would come to it. And I was scared. I didn't want them to think I wasn't saved. I didn't want them to think I was a twisted pervert. I really didn't. I really didn't want them to think that stuff about me. But you know what these men did? They put their arm around me, and they prayed for me. They ministered to me. No guilt, no shame, no condemnation. Love covers a multitude of sin. These guys bared my burden with me, and they lifted me up, and they cared. You know, they cried with me, they bled with me, whatever. Whatever it took, they were there. And I got to tell you guys, I didn't just do that once. It wasn't 1 week, and then it was over. I continued to go to them, sometimes week after week. I think the weeks they missed, they probably was wondering in their minds, wow, did you do it this week too, or what? You know, are you okay? Are you getting better? Are you healed? Well, it was a battle in my mind. For 3 years, I was tormented in my mind with many different things. Drugs, alcohol. I used to have a big, hard drug and alcohol addiction. For 3 years, I struggled with thoughts of drinking, using. And obviously, thoughts of sexual immorality stuff that's not pleasing to God. And it was a war raged in my mind. And it went on, and it went on, and it went on. And finally, the Bible says when sin is full grown, it brings forth death. It brings forth destruction. And it did. It brought it forth. It destroyed me. One of the worst things I ever done. That was one of the best things I ever did, was confess to my brothers, Pastor John, the elders of the church. One of the worst things I ever did is stop. I stopped. I stopped talking to my brothers. I stopped telling them what I was struggling with. I needed their help, and I quit. Why? Pride. Well, I got some victory. Don't get me wrong. Finally, I started experiencing something, and I was like, all right, this is good. Got some victory going. So then years, months later, whatever the case was, when I failed or fell back into it or chose to do it, I kept my mouth closed. God was using me. I was moving. He was raising me up, you know. He was raising me up, and my pride wouldn't allow me to go back and confess because I wasn't hearing no one else talk about it. I wasn't hearing no one else talk about it. So I'm thinking, now I'm the only one. I'm the only one. I'm the only saved Christian that's struggling with this. These guys have been walking with the Lord for how long? They've already got this victory. They've already walking in it, man. And I'm not there yet? God, how come I'm not there yet? Lord, if I'm saved and I'm filled with your Holy Spirit, why do I keep doing these things? Why can't I be doing the stuff that turns me from you, that doesn't please you, that separates me? That's what I was looking for, that separates me from you. Why? Why am I doing this? I kept on. Kept my mouth shut. I was caught and bound in sin. I'm going to read a passage to you guys real quick. Just a little verse, if I can find it, if I can stop shaking enough to find it. In Proverbs chapter 5, and like I said, you guys don't have to turn there, so it's just a little passage, a little verse that I'm going to want to read to you real quick. This whole thing, even the title of it, I'll tell you the title, it says, do not commit adultery. Then further on, verses through 15 through 23, be faithful to your spouse. As you read down, and I'm just going to read a few verses to get to my point. I'm going to start in 20. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. Caught in the cords of his sin. My brothers, I was caught in the cords of my sin. I was bound. I was locked up. I was in bondage. And maybe it was the bondage that needed prayer and fasting. You know, the disciples went to Jesus and said, how come we can't cast them out? He goes, this type has to come through fasting and prayer. You know what I mean? But who was going to fast? Who was going to pray with me? I wasn't confessing it. I wasn't talking to my brothers. I wasn't letting them know the struggles in my life. And therefore, I was entrapped and I was stuck in it. And it kept on. It wouldn't stop. I kept being raised up. I was doing ministry. God was using me. You know? God was using me. And I used to cry out to him, God, why? Why? If I'm saved and full of your spirit, why? Why am I still walking this way? Why am I still battling with this? What's going on? What is it going to take, God? And I'm doubting my salvation. I'm doubting my walk. I'm all kinds of stuff. My brothers are going to think I'm twisted if I go talk to them. I'm going to have to step down out of ministry if I go confess this stuff. Which wouldn't be a bad thing. It would have been for a season. Who cares? It would have been okay. You know? And so finally I started crying out to God. And I said, God, you do whatever it takes to get me. I was so tormented with this sin. I used to pray like this. This is insanity to me now. God, whatever it takes, if you have to shout my sin from the rooftop to get me to stop living this way, then so do it. Galatians 6:7-8 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that also he shall reap. If you continue in it. He forgives me. I confess. He forgave. I turn around, did it again. It was habitual sin, a habitual practice. God finally said, I will not be mocked. I will not be made a fool of. You know what I mean? And my sin got shouted from the rooftops. Okay? It got shouted from the rooftops, and I had to step down. And that's what happened. So, men, the reason for men of integrity is so we can learn to walk in truth and honesty. So we could walk in a way that we have a place to go. It's a refuge to talk about the struggles that men have. And it's not just sexual immorality that we struggle with, is it? We have other issues in our life. Anger, wrath, greed, money could be an issue. This is a safe place to come to break some of those bonds, those cords if you're trapped. Some brothers that are willing to pray with you, maybe fast with you, to help you come out of it. And why is that? Well, he tells us pretty clear. I already quoted James. You know, confess that sin to one another. Pray for each other that you may be healed. But if you guys would real quick go to 2 Timothy. In our passage that we just read, it says here, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. In chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, it says in verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master's... Oh, man. Sorry, gentlemen. Let me start over. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish, ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Another reason for men of integrity. Well, first of all, what I really want to say to you guys is this. If we're clean vessels, useful for the master, well, if we're vessels of dishonor and we're not clean, that must mean what? We're not very useful, are we? We're not very useful. We're not a vessel that God can work through if we're full of unrighteousness. If we're not full of unrighteousness. Guys, you wouldn't be here today if you didn't want to be used by God in a powerful way. Truth is powerful. Honesty is powerful. Living a clean life is powerful. God uses clean, sanctified vessels. And guys, we need it in this day. We need it in this day, the end times, and we're looking at them. It's a scary time, but more importantly, we need to be moving. We need to be moving. We need to be ready when He calls us, vessels of honor. But really what I want to point out to you guys more than anything is it says, flee youthful lust, pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord. Men of integrity, this ministry, well, we need to come together as men, because He tells us right here, pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You're not alone. We're in a battle. We're in a hardcore battle, and we're being attacked on a daily, regular basis. And even back in our text, there's the word commandment. Okay, that's a command given down. God's commanding us not to do this. It has it's a picture. It can be a military term from the general on down to the men. It's a commandment that comes forth. And guys, the men of integrity is a place that we can come to create a battle plan. A plan that's equipped. When the Marines go in to Iraq, let's say, because that's where we're fighting, I guess, they didn't send one guy in there unprepared, did he? They sent a platoon in there. There's a guy to the left, there's a guy to the right to get that man's back. And men, unfortunately, we're not getting our backs today. And that's another reason for the men of integrity. And don't get me wrong, why are we talking about this issue? I believe this is the strongest issue that we struggle with today. I think this is what keeps us out of service for God, that keeps us as pew warmers. You know, it doesn't just break intimacy with God. It also breaks intimacy with our wives. I finally sat down with my wife to talk to her, and I couldn't sit there and speak with her intimately because of the guilt and shame, afraid of the questions she might ask me or the subjects that might come up that I couldn't be honest about because I wasn't walking in integrity. You know, that's a hard thing to do that. And that's why important. And men, we don't do it at all. We don't even come close to doing it. So this isn't just focused on sexual immorality either. Like I said, it's all areas. A man of integrity walks in righteousness through and through in all areas of his life. And I don't know about you guys. I have areas of my life I'm struggling with. What the system, what it's going to be set up like is I feel God's put on my heart and showed us that this book right here, Pastor John sent to me while I was gone for 3 years. I was gone for 3 years. And it's funny, when I got it, I said, man, I wonder what kind of jab he's trying to throw to me here. Probably saying how I'm living my life unrighteous and I'm mangled and I'm tore up and I'm all this. That's really how I thought. I didn't say, man, my brother loves me and look what he's trying to do. I didn't, you know, stupid me. My brother loves me and look what he's trying to do. You know, guys, what we would like to do is from Saturdays, from 9 to 10 o'clock, we'd like to spend some time in the Word, some prayer, and we'd like to go through this book. It's called Disciplines of a Godly Man, okay? And how it starts is very interesting. It starts with the discipline of purity. The whole beginning of it is on relationships. And as soon as I can find the page here, it says, the very introduction of it says, discipline of godliness, which I think we read there in Psalms 15, the characteristics of a godly man. Okay? It's a man of integrity. Disciplines of godliness. Then it starts off, the discipline of purity, the disciplines of marriage, the disciplines of fatherhood, the disciplines of friendship. If I'm not walking a life close to God, if I'm separated from God, I'm not going to have a good, solid marriage. I'm not going to be close to my wife. I'm not going to be a good father. I'm not going to be a good friend. I'm not going to be a good father to you guys. I'm not going to be a good brother to you guys. And so what God has really put upon my heart is to go through this. And it's about 10 pages a chapter. Two pages a day in a week, you're done with it. Read it, and in the end, there's a study guide that we answer the questions, and when we come back the following week, We have a 10, 15 minutes of devotion, and then we get to talk about these questions. We get to talk about the issues that men struggle with. And like I said, it's not just sexual. You might not be here today struggling with sexual immorality. You might not be struggling with pornography. I picked this subject. Well, I didn't pick the subject. I felt like God led me to that. God led me to that because it's a sensitive subject. It's something we don't want to talk about. It's something we don't want to face. It's something we don't want to go to. And I want to encourage you guys, there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun. It wasn't here to beat the sheep. It wasn't here to say, you know what, we're tore up, messed up individuals. We're righteous men. We were righteous the day God saved our souls and raised us up. But it's an encouragement to come if you're bound by that sin or any other sin. Men of integrity, is this an invitation to come? Discipleship, to edify and to build one another up, to live a life pleasing to God for the work of the ministry is really what it's all about. That's the bottom line, you know. And if this happens to be it, then you know what? Unfortunately, I've experienced the devastation and the pain of that. And I guess really to mumble all these words out and to say all this stuff, it really doesn't even get to my heart. What I really want to just say to you guys is really vitally important. Don't take that sin lightly. Don't wait, man. Don't wait for it to be shouted from the rooftops. God will not be mocked. It's not a shame. You know, well, I'm going to go to something like that. People are going to think I'm looking at pornography all the time, that I'm doing this, I'm doing that. That's a lighter embarrassment than having it shouted from the rooftops and the whole neighborhood and the church and your family knowing what you've done. What I'm trying to say is we don't have to stay stuck in that. There's a way out. There's victory. He's a God of restoration. My wife left for 9 months. She's back home. We had a baby together. Little Jesse, you see him running out here. He's God sent after my fall, after my crash and burn. He's God sent. God doesn't leave us in this condition. He gives us an out. I don't no longer struggle with that, guys. I don't look at pornography no longer. There is true victory in it. I promise you there is. My job, I'm a maintenance supervisor, 441 units. People leave stuff behind in apartments all the time. The other day I came across a Playboy magazine. But because of God's love, His grace, and His mercy, and some of the godly disciplines that by the power of His Holy Spirit that I've got to practice, I didn't have to open those pages. I didn't look at those pages. If something pops up on the TV, I see it, I look away. We're visual people, we see it. I look away, I go about my business. It doesn't stay home. That's because I got touched by God's Holy Spirit further down. And I got to wrap up, guys. There's so much I want to talk about here, and I just can't do it. But in verse 8, it says, therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you, it was through the baptism of God's Holy Spirit that I was delivered, guys. Through the baptism of God's Holy Spirit that I have the strength and the power. And I ask for that on a regular basis. Walking down the road, if there's something that pops through my vision, or then moral thoughts begin to come back and race. You guys know what I'm talking about. We can't kick them. It's like every day. I can tell you guys, I do not focus on that every day. Do these things still pop in there? Yeah. I'm a man with the sin nature in me. Do thoughts. But I don't let them stay home. It says, take every thought into the captivity of the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. I never really got that, guys. I really didn't. I couldn't take my thoughts into captivity. But today, I do. Your word I have hidden in my heart. When that stuff begins to come in, God's Holy Spirit will put His word in there. He will minister to you. You don't have to dwell on those thoughts, is what I'm telling you. If it's a continual tape that keeps playing, no longer have to dwell upon it. There is victory. There is restoration. My family was restored. We've been made healed. But there's still consequences of that sin. And don't wait until the consequences. They're never going to leave me. In fact, I'm back in Proverbs 6, it'll tell you there's a guilt and shame that never leaves a man. And unfortunately, that will always be with me. And unfortunately, it might always come up in my relationship. could be something that triggers in my life. And I reap and sow those consequences 7 years later. 7 years later. So really my heart was just to tell you guys, man, you don't have to be in it. You don't have to be stuck in it. There's a way out. It doesn't have to control your life. He says, vessels of honor that we are to know how to possess our vessels, not our vessels possess us. Not our vessels possess us. Not to allow sin to control us, but to allow the Holy Spirit to control us. Father, we come before you, Lord. We thank you, God, for this time together. We thank you for your word, Lord. And God, I just want to pray for anybody here who might be struggling in this area of sin, or God, maybe they're struggling with alcohol. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe anger and wrath is upon their life. God, sin is sin, and it separates us from you, Lord. And I would just pray right now that if anybody is separated from you, that they would just cry out to you, God, from their own hearts. Lord, if there's anybody that is bound by the cords of their sin, that you would even now, through the power of your Holy Spirit, release those. God, I ask that you would just fall afresh on each and every man here. Give them that fresh baptism of your Holy Spirit, that they may be strengthened and renewed and lifted up and built up in you. And Lord, I would just pray that as we go forth from here, that we would be men of integrity. As your Spirit speaks to us, we would turn from whatever thing we're doing that's not true and honest before you, even if it's still in a piece of paper from work, God. For all the little things lead up to the big, Lord. But you're a good and faithful God. Thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, and the restoration that you put upon our lives, restoring us to you because of your Holy Son who died upon the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.